Well, good morning. My name is Dan Adams. I'm from the Webb City, Missouri congregation. I'd like to write a couple of words up here. So what I've written on the board is two small words, my soul. I'd like to talk to you about that. I'd like to turn to the 119th Psalm. The 119th Psalm is the longest psalm, the longest chapter, if you will, in the Bible. And it's divided in 8 verse segments. And there's a lot of technicalities that we could go into, but I probably wouldn't understand it after I read it to you because I'm not a poet. I wouldn't. If I come up with something that sounds like it rhymes, it's probably an accident. So I'm not going to try to explain the poetry in the 119th Psalm, but I would like to read one little segment of that. I'd like to go down to the 105th verse and begin reading there. Psalms 119, 105. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments." I like definite commitments. I believe that that's what I see here. There's a perception of the writer, likely it was David, that felt passionate. He was a decisive man. He was a man that was willing to make strong, viable commitments. And he said here, "I have sworn and I will perform it. I'm going to keep my word. I'm going to follow through with the thing that I've committed to," and that's very, very valuable in my life and in my mind. He says that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I'm afflicted very much. Most of all of us have our fair share of troubles, adversities, and those type of things, and this writer is no different. He says, "I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me," or "make me alive," or "help me in my moments of need, O Lord, according to thy word." I want to be quickened in the right way. I want to see clearly. I want to go forward in a very directional manner. I'm not very much of a harebrained idea person. You know what I mean? You ever watch a rabbit run across the road? That's a hare, right? A rabbit can change directions probably faster than anything on 4 feet. If you don't believe it, just try to catch one through the wheat field. That's what we mean when we say a harebrained idea. You went this way and then you went that way. And I've caught a few rabbits, but it's only because I could ambush them many times. So I'm not a favorite of harebrained ideas. He said here, "O Lord, according to thy word," I want to follow the direction that God has in mind for me. Not just today, not just next week, not just for a period of time when I'm old or when I'm young or whatever it is, I want to follow it all of my life. He said, accept, I beseech thee, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgment. I want to offer him my praise, my allegiance, the things that I can say with my mouth that confirm that I'm intending to be in his side, on his side, and committed in his service. He says in verse 109, my soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. I wonder how many of us can say that's our testimony today. You know, the feeling of knowing that you've been faced with temptation and yet you did not yield is an exhilarating feeling. It beats any reward of a harebrained idea, because it's deep-seated, gratifying knowing that you are victorious. He says, the wicked laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I want it to be the place that I find happiness. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statute always, even unto the end. You made a commitment a long time ago to live for the Lord. And I want to keep true to that. So obviously I want to look at the 12th verse here, or not the 12th verse, the 109th verse. It says, my soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. You know, to carry something in your hand is probably the most insecure place that you can carry it. I've had a pretty good grip throughout my life. And for you young men, you want to try this someday. Find yourself a pair of bathroom scales, you know what I'm talking about, and see if you can squeeze it enough to register your own weight. It's always been pretty easy for me. Getting more difficult, and we won't go into that. But you have to have a pretty strong grip when you're mature to be able to squeeze your own weight on a set of scales. But even if that's true, to hold something in my hand is not the place that I need to carry something if I'm carrying it a long distance. We all have a soul. Yes. My soul. And you can say my soul too, because you have one. Yes. Some feel like this should have been translated my life. My life, my soul, they're very, very closely intertwined. One follows the other. If I have my life, if I'm in possession of my life, I'm in possession of my soul. If I lose the grip on life, I'm losing the grip on my soul. But right now, our soul is in our hand. There's a reason that the Lord teaches us to hide His Word in our heart. To ingrain something deep down in our character is a much safer place than to carry it around in our hand. We could write out some rules that we were going to live by, some commitments we made, and aspirations that we have. And you could write it on, put it on the best paper, use the best ink, and you could laminate it in plastic. But I'm going to tell you, give it 20 years of you carrying it around in your hand, and it's going to fall apart. Or you're going to lose it. We live in an age where a lot of us, if we go to move from one location to the next, we pick up our phone with one hand and our insulated cup with the other. I'm going to tell you, you're handicapped. Put your phone down, put your cup down, and let's do something. Your hands were made for work, not just carrying stuff around. So, the thought here, my soul in my hand. David said, my soul is continually at danger. The wicked, they lay traps for me. There's places all around us to endanger our soul. There are things that will captivate us. There were things that will maybe instigate some kind of random thought that could lead to a character change. My spiritual life is in perpetual danger. It's so imperative that I carry my spiritual commitments in a much safer location than just carrying it around in my hand. Years ago, I used to work on a man's car. He always drove a Lincoln Town car, and I was told that he pastored two or three congregations, but I probably told this before, but it comes back to my mind. He always came for his car automobile service for dressed like he was going to a funeral. Nice hat, a suit with a little hanky folded just right in his pocket. Always carried his Bible with him, and he was always smoking a cigar. I want to tell you, you're going to have to do more than look impressive. We're going to have it in a safer place than just carrying the word around in my hand. It's pretty easy, and all of the martial arts out there, I'm not a martial arts fan, just so we're clear on that, but all of those have techniques for making people drop what's in their hand. That's one of the skill sets that you learn, is how to make your adversary turn loose of what's in their hand, whether it's your clothes or a weapon or whatever it might be. So the devil is very skillful at knocking something out of our hand. And David said, the writer here said, my soul is in my hand. It's in a precarious position, and it could be that my soul's welfare could be jeopardized at a moment's notice. If somebody hits you from behind, one of the things we're going to do is turn loose of what we have in our hand and grab for something to keep from falling. And so it's so imperative that we put our spiritual well-being in the care of our soul, someplace deep within, in our hearts, in our character. Cultivate a relationship that's so much deeper than just carrying it around in our hand. I'd like to turn to an account in Matthew, the 26th chapter. Jesus is speaking here, or at least some of it. Matthew chapter 26. Look at the 24th verse, maybe beginning. I'm sorry, I'm wrong chapter, 16th chapter. It says, um, 26. Then said Jesus, 24th verse, unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life will lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange of his soul? What would you give to be something you're not? It's difficult for me to carry a tune. It'd probably get better if I had maybe some coaching, but you know, there's just a limited amount a coach can do with some of my abilities. I really like to hear someone that can sing. I'm amazed at people that can look at music and then sing it. That's way, way above my pay grade. So it'd be nice to be something that you're not. And what would I give? Would I give up some of my time? Would I pay somebody to coach me? Would I spend the effort it took to be able to sing a little better? Maybe to be a better public speaker? Maybe you have an aspiration for that. Don't know that either one of those are places I excel. But the real question today is, what would we be willing to pay for a soul? Were we looking for profit or gain or margin, depending on how you're looking at it? I thought I had a songbook up here, but I don't see one. Somebody bring me a songbook. What is the where do we look to gain the benefit or the profit in our life? What is our objective? What is our the real underlying goal that we're striving for? What would a man give in exchange for his soul? This song that we have in 466A in our book, he says, the writer here says, here's a question unto all on the earth. All of us here this morning, your soul, you got one. And not only that, it's in your hand. And today is the day that we have to all make a conscious decision. What are we going to do with my soul? We came here. I hope that somewhere's on your agenda for being here is my soul. My soul is the reason I came here. When I meet someone that I haven't seen for a number of years, that's valuable. It's valuable to reconnect. But my soul, I want my soul to be able to stand the test of time. I don't want to carry my soul on the end of my fingertips, so to speak. Many of us have probably eaten at a Mexican restaurant. And I don't know who teaches them this, but you get a table with four or five people and they'll bring out the entrees, and they stack them on their arm. You know, they're one down here and another plate and another plate and another plate. And they'll have a big insulated thing on them and they'll come out and they'll be saying hot plate to everybody that they hand one off of. Well, I'm going to tell you, it wouldn't take much of a stumble to dump all of those plates in the food or in the floor. How are we taking care of our soul? Are we carrying our soul like it's a hot plate and we don't know what to do with it? Here's a question unto all the earth. Time will unfold to the young and the old. I was young once. Really, I was. I was the little guy that came on the grounds and had to get rescued in the restroom because in the women's restroom of all places, because that's where my mother took me. I've been here that long. But now I'm old. What would your profit or your fortune be worth to gain all this world and lose your soul? What would you give to make a trade? Maybe you've made choices down through time. We both, maybe we could get together and find out that we were teenagers together and you've spent your time maybe different than I have. What would you give today to go back and do that different? You know, over 30 years ago, 32 maybe, I don't remember, it's been a long time ago, I well remember sitting in a room listening to a man that was maybe a little bit older than I am today recount times in his life that he had made a decision to not follow the leadings of the Lord. He didn't go a long ways away. He just wasn't following the Lord like he should have. You know, 30 years will take you from a young man to an old man. I listened to him as he recounted resisting a call of God on his life in his regret. I wished he had done it different. He's facing a serious, life-ending affliction. And I heard those words of how he wished he'd made a different decision. And if he could do it over again, and I'm not going to have a chance to redo the last 30 years of my life. And you're not going to have a chance either. And whether you're at the beginning or the end of a 30-year period in your life, you're not going to have the chance to do it over again. My challenge this morning is that we would do something different than just carrying our soul around like a hot plate at the end of my arm, in my hand. But take my soul serious and do something to ingrain things in my character that will be a safeguard. Next year, you can come back a little stronger. That your soul will be in a more prosperous position. Invest in your soul, in your spiritual welfare. Don't just carry it around out there on the end of your hand. You're going to stumble. We've all stumbled. I've dropped things that I never intended to drop. Once in a while, we have tile in our kitchen area at home, and once in a while my wife will say, oh, I dropped. The other day I come home and I have this glass that someone gave me, has their company logo on it and all that, and I use it once in a while, and I came home and she said, I dropped your glass. Well, it didn't survive. It was in her hand, you see. She didn't have it in, not that I would expect her to do this, but she didn't have it in her purse. She didn't have it in something that would protect it. She just had it in her hand. Sometimes I think we go through life with our soul out here wondering, what am I going to do with my soul today? Just carrying it along, wondering if we're going to drop it or what we're going to put in it, or we ought to have a long range, long distance commitment, what I'm going to do with my soul. Not just carrying it around, trying to make a decision. What it's not like a few extra dollars that's burning a hole in your pocket and wanting to get out. And the first thing that you see, you spend it on. No, my soul is more valuable than that. The writer here said, my soul is continually in my hand. And the writer of the song says, there's a question for us here on this earth. Time's going to unfold to young and old. What will your profit or your fortune be worth to gain all this world and lose your soul? What will become of all your fortune and land, silver and gold, riches untold? When you've made it all your purpose and aim to gain all this world and lose your soul. To gain all this world. I could have made some different choices. Too late. Too late for me to make some of those now. It might be too late for you someday if you're young today. And maybe you're my age today and you wished you'd made a different decision. And you're thinking, maybe sitting here this morning, I wished I'd made a different choice. I wished I'd decided to really take my soul's welfare serious. Today is the day of opportunity. We have a God that wants you to take your soul seriously. Jesus said, whosoever will save his life will lose it. The word life and the word soul seems to have been translated from the original sometimes one way and sometimes the other. So would you, if you'll allow me, I'll say, whoever will save his soul, his life, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. To put your soul at a greater value, at a greater investment opportunity than gaining this world's goods is a more important investment for every one of us. We all have to have food, clothing, shelter. You know all of those stories. We have to have that. I believe the Lord is, and I have lived by this, that we must be able and willing to provide for our own homes. I believe that. But I also believe that if I don't put my soul at the top of the list, I'm going to find out that I've lost my soul. And if I'm in a position where my soul is lost this morning, I'm asking, God's asking, what would you give to change that around? What is it worth? I listened to the man that said, I wished I'd have listened to the Lord. I listened to him say, I wished that I hadn't made the choice that I did. I want to turn and read the same account over here in the book of Mark. In the 8th chapter, 34th verse, reads pretty close to the same. And when he had called the people unto him and his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. We could spend a whole meeting, a whole service talking about the cross and what that means. He says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same will save it. Lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. I would venture that quite a number of us are spending our vacation time to come to a camp meeting. I have. For a long time. I haven't joined the ranks of the retired yet. But I don't suppose that it's going to change whether I come to camp meeting or not. I've been criticized. You go there every year. Yeah, I know people that go fishing at the same spot all the time too. I go here every year. My soul has been important to me. You know, none of us like criticism. And criticism, the farther away it is from us in relation, the easier it is to take. But the closer it gets, the more difficult it is. You know, when Job's wife said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? You know, that was probably one of the most difficult things he dealt with. This was his companion that said, Job, it's not working. Cash it in. But he said, you don't talk like someone with very much wisdom. I can't do that. I won't do that. The reason was Job's soul was not in his hand. And when he got smacked on the back of his head by his wife, you know how difficult that would be to take? Those of us that's married, you just think about what it'd feel like for your spouse to come up and haul off and smack you on the back of the head and say, I told you this is not going to work out very good. That was hard. Very hard. A lot harder than his servants coming and telling him bad news. His wife said, won't you just curse God and die? But Job's soul was somewhere besides his hand. He'd made lifelong commitments. He said, in one place, he said he escaped by the skin of his teeth. Mark said that Jesus said, Mark's account is, if you lose this life, lose the opportunity for advancement. You know, this next week is probably one of the best opportunities to fix broken cars of the year. You know why? People's going on vacation. Summer break. Cars break down when they go down the road. And there's more cars on the road next week than there is in a lot of weeks. I'm just telling you how it is. I get paid for how many cars I fix. Y'all do the math. It'd be better to have Monarch in, I don't know, 1st of February. 8 inches of snow on the ground. Nobody's getting out. No cars breaking down. It'd be financially better for me for us to schedule Monarch 1st week of February. But I made a commitment because I'm not carrying my soul around on the end of my arm. I want it to be something that'll take me across the finish line. I want you to be able to go across the finish line and ring the bell or whatever you want to think about. I want you to be victorious. So don't be carrying your soul around on the end of your hand, on the tips of your fingers, and being wishy-washy or whatever term you want to use here this morning. But I want us to make deep-seated, consecrated commitments to the Lord, and then invest in that, add a little more to it, and a little more, because it's who I am. He said very plainly, if you lose your life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. You'll save your soul. You'll save your eternal existence. I was listening some yesterday afternoon to the message, and I was struck with the thought of the people that end up in the other place, and it being so dark they couldn't see, but they could look up.
Yes.
Oh, I wonder if they ever say, had I only. Oh, what I wouldn't give today. You know, the rich man was willing to pay to try to get someone to go back and warn the others of his family. The song says, to buy a soul, what would you give in exchange? Sum up the whole within your control. If it were possible, would you not arrange to give all this world and save your soul? You know, I've been at the bedside of those that have been faithful. Spoke to them toward the end, maybe the very end of their life. Never heard any of them say, I sure wished I was leaving more to the kids. Oh, if I had it to do over, I'd become more famous. I've never sat by someone that has surrendered their life and hear them say, I wished I was richer. They have always said something to the effect, I'm sure glad I spent my life living for the Lord. This morning, your soul is in your hand. And my question for us today is, what are you going to do? Are you going to keep making decisions? Maybe they're small ones, but small decisions lead to bigger decisions. And bigger decisions lead to bigger disasters. And my plea this morning is that you would consider your soul. And not just carry it around like some kind of optional accessory. It's the essence of life. My soul. What am I going to do with my soul? Maybe we could stand and sing this song 466A. What's going to be your profit? As the saying is, you don't see the hearse with a U-Haul behind it or a luggage rack on the top. You're going to go out of this world with what's in your soul. You're not going to take your belt buckle. You're not going to take your bank account. You're not going to take your prestige. You're just going to take your soul. Your soul. What are you doing with it today? You pray for me.